Father God, thank you and praise you that we can be here together this morning. We thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. We thank you that Jesus has risen and for what that means for us today and for all of eternity. And help us this morning to reflect on that more as we think back to Good Friday and how Jesus died for us. And how as we think more about how Jesus rose from the grave as well. Help us to think more deeply about that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to ask you all these two questions. What is the one perfect thing you want? What is the one perfect thing that you need? Now, maybe if you're a parent, the one perfect thing that you want is perfect kids. Kids that do what they're told the first time. Or maybe if you're a kid, maybe you want the perfect parents. Parents that say yes to all your requests. Maybe you want the perfect husband. A husband that doesn't leave his toenail clippings in the pot plant. Now, I'm not confessing to anything this morning. Maybe you want the perfect wife, the perfect pastor, the perfect prime minister, perfect health, the perfect day, the perfect weekend, the perfect holiday, the perfect house, the perfect garden, the perfect car. What is the one perfect thing that you want? What is the one perfect thing that you need? Well, according to Isaiah 53, the one perfect thing that we need is a perfect servant. The one perfect thing that we need is God's perfect servant. We need God's perfect servant to represent us before God. We need God's perfect servant to make us holy and clean. Forget about the one perfect thing that you want this morning. This is the one perfect thing that you need. And so Isaiah 53, the first reading that was read to us, is all about God's perfect servant. And what is amazing about this is that Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus lived. And everything that is written in Isaiah 53, Jesus fulfills as God's perfect servant with great accuracy. And so this is what Isaiah 53 teaches us about Jesus, about God's perfect servant 700 years before. That God's perfect servant is unattractive, unwanted, and rejected. That God's perfect servant suffered in our place. And that God's perfect servant will be raised, lifted up, and highly exalted. So first of all, God's perfect servant is unattractive, unwanted, and rejected. Let's look again at the text from Isaiah 52, 14 and 53, 2-3. There were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Again, Jesus was unattractive, unwanted, and rejected in Isaiah 53. Now, in some of the Jesus movies that you see, there is usually a pretty boy Jesus doing the acting, isn't there? Jesus with blue eyes and long hair. Well, Isaiah 53 does not describe this kind of Jesus. This is not George Clooney Jesus. This is not Brad Pitt Jesus. This is Shrek Jesus. I love the movie Shrek. Who here is a Shrek fan? Yeah, pretty awesome movie. I love Donkey as well. He's so annoying. But what's great about Shrek, that Shrek is an unwanted, unattractive, rejected hero. And this is who Jesus is in this passage. Nobody wants Jesus here. He's pushed to the side. And this description becomes even more true of Jesus when we look at the cross. Again in verse 14, chapter 52, verse 14. There were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not a pretty sight. Nailed, pierced hands and feet. A crown of thorns on his head. Blood. Screaming in agony. This was not a pretty sight. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being. Again, there was nothing to attract us to him. To know somebody who died on the cross back then, you would not want to know somebody who died on the cross back then. You would not want to be related to somebody who died on the cross back then. It was embarrassing. And this is why Jesus was unattractive. He wasn't a king in a long robe and with a crown on his head, seated on a throne. No, he was a king that suffered and died for his people. And at the time, in this moment, there was nothing appealing about him at all. I mean, who is going to worship a dead king? And the key word here in verse 3 is that he was rejected. Rejected by mankind. Now, I heard a true story recently about a young boy called Davian. He was 15 years old. Now, Davian had grown up in the American foster care system. And he experienced rejection his whole entire life. He went from one home to another. And one day he happened to come to church. He was dressed in his best clothes. And he asked the minister, "Can I please get up and speak and say something?" And so young Davian came to the front of the church. He stood at the lectern. And he said, "Can somebody please adopt me? I don't care if you're male or female, black or white, young or old. Can somebody please adopt me?" You see, Davian just wanted somebody to love him unconditionally. And as you could imagine, the church was in tears. And there was a huge response. What Davian did made world news. Thousands of people then wanted to adopt Davian. And the good news is that Davian eventually found a home. But what I want to highlight here, that Davian experienced rejection. He felt rejection. He just wanted somebody to adopt him. And we read here that Jesus experienced rejection as well. Look at the experience of Jesus' rejection. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Jesus was rejected by the very people that he made. And so again, do you see here how God's perfect servant was unattractive, unwanted, and rejected? Thrown out like a piece of trash. And we are all guilty of it, aren't we? At some point in our lives, each of us has rejected Jesus. And it breaks my heart when I see people continue to reject Jesus today. In my role, I see it happen all the time. It breaks my heart. But that is only a fraction to what God feels. Imagine how much it breaks God's heart when he sees people reject him. But the good news is that Jesus does not reject us. We reject him, but he does not reject us. Jesus went through with the cross, and he does the opposite to Davian. You see, Davian got up the front of the church and said, "Please come, can I please come into your home?" Well, Jesus says, "I want you to come into my home. I want you to come into my eternal home and kingdom." And so at the end of the day, we all have a choice, don't we? We can either accept him or we can reject him. I remember when I was in year six, somebody gave me a party invitation, and I thought this guy wasn't very cool. You know, I was in year six, but it turns out I was pretty lame at the time. But what I did, I took his invitation and I threw it in the bin. I rejected the invitation. I know I'm a horrible person. But in the end, I was the one that missed out because everyone went to this party except me. I rejected a perfectly good invitation. Well, don't reject this invitation today. Don't reject an opportunity to follow Jesus. Why not follow Jesus today? The second thing that we learn about God's perfect servant is that God's perfect servant suffered in our place. And we were reminded how he did this for us in 53:4-6. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God's perfect servant suffered in our place. And do you see how many times we are mentioned in this passage? 10 times! Now, last night I got my maths wrong. I only said 8 times. But we actually mentioned 10 times here. He took our pain, bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, our transgressions, our iniquities. 10 times we are mentioned. Verse 4 says, "He took our pain and bore our suffering." In one of the songs that we sang earlier, it said, "He walked the path before us, and he is walking with us still." He took our pain and bore our suffering. It also says, "We considered him punished by God." You see, many people thought back then, and perhaps maybe today, that Jesus did something wrong. That is why he died on the cross. We considered him punished by God. But Jesus was innocent, wasn't he? We were the guilty ones, and he was taking our place. He was taking our punishment. And then verse 5, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Isaiah could not be more clear in his prophecy. Jesus died in our place. He was crushed for our sin. Think about that word for a moment. crushed. Jesus was crushed for us. Now, in case you don't know what sin is this morning, let me be clear what sin is. Jesus' greatest command was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, sin is the opposite of that. Sin is when we fail to love God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. Sin is when we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. But the Bible also says that sin goes much deeper as well. Sin is a disease that is inside of us. And we need to be healed from this disease. And that is why the passage wonderfully says in verse 5, by his wounds we are healed. So we need healing from sin. But sin also needs punishing as well. If a student talks back to a teacher, then that student needs to be punished, don't they? If somebody is speeding, then that person needs to be punished. If somebody's caught cheating at cricket, there needs to be a punishment. Because otherwise we will all say, where is the justice in that? And God is a God of justice. And the Bible says that the punishment for sin is death. We deserve the death penalty for rebelling against a holy God. But the good news is that we don't eternally die for our sin. God's perfect servant takes our place. As it says again in verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. Jesus paid the cost. God's perfect servant took the punishment for us. Now, I'm not sure if you remember, in 2015, the big thing about the Bali Nine, the crew that were trying to smuggle drugs from Indonesia into Australia, and the two ringleaders were Maroon Sukumaran and Andrew Chan. And their penalty was to face death by firing squad. The law was, if you smuggle drugs, you die for doing that. And amazingly, however, in the time they got caught and between the time they died, these two men were reformed. Chan actually became a pastor, Sukumaran an art teacher in the prison. And now many were arguing that these two men no longer deserve the death penalty. They were reformed men. Let them keep on living. But the law was clear. They had to die for what they did. And a priest at the time who witnessed their death by firing squad said this: they died with eyes open, voices loud, singing praises to their God. Why is this? Well, because they knew the one who died in their place. They came to know the one who died for them. And so they died confidently, with eyes open, voices loud, singing praises to their God. They knew the one who said to the criminal on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." They knew the one who had taken the penalty for them. They still took the penalty in this life, but in the next, Jesus had paid for their sin. And the next amazing and astonishing thing that we see here in Isaiah 53 is that Isaiah prophesies that Jesus will come back to life, that he will raise from the dead. You see, everything that I have said this morning is irrelevant if Jesus did not come back to life. As the Apostle Paul says, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You're wasting your time here this morning if Jesus did not come back to life. But Paul goes on to write that Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, that there are over 500 eyewitnesses who saw this happen. Now, one or two eyewitnesses might be a little bit fishy, but 500 eyewitnesses is a significant number. Furthermore, this is what Isaiah says about the risen, that Jesus will rise 700 years before. He says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. He will see his offspring and prolong his days. He will see the light of life and be satisfied." Jesus will rise from the dead according to Isaiah. Jesus has risen according to the Apostle Paul and the eyewitnesses at the time. This is a massive game changer. If Jesus stayed dead, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. But if he has risen, it demands a response. It demands an answer. Because we are talking now about somebody who has defeated death. It's amazing. No ordinary human being has done this. Now, I was reading a story last night about a young boy called Philip. Now, Philip had Down syndrome, and he went to kids' church one morning, like our kids have done today, and they did an activity. The teacher gave them all a plastic egg, and she said, "I want you to put inside this egg something that symbolizes new life." And so the kids got excited about this activity, and they all ran outside, and then they came back again. And now the kids, one by one, began to open their eggs. One kid had a flower. Another kid had a leaf. Another kid had a butterfly. And when it got to Philip's egg, he opened it up, and his egg was empty. And the teacher tried to explain to him, "Philip, I don't think you understand what you're meant to do. You're meant to put something in your egg that represented new life." And Philip said, "I have. The tomb was empty." Jesus has risen. Death has been defeated. And unfortunately, when I read the story, Philip is no longer with us. But praise be to God that he knew the one who died in his place. Death has been defeated for Philip. Death has been defeated for each and every one of us. Did you know that 56 million people die every year? That's 4.7 million per month. 150,000 per day. Almost 7,000 an hour. 100 per minute. Somebody dies every 2 seconds. But again, we know the one who has defeated death. We said it this morning, Jesus has risen. It's astonishing. It's incredible. It's amazing. And it means for those who trust God's perfect servant, death is not the end. Those who trust in Jesus, death is not the end. It's only the beginning. The Easter message is this: death is not the end. It's only the beginning. And so what is the one perfect thing that you want, that you think might make your life perfect? Well, you're never going to find it, are you? But the one perfect thing you need is God's perfect servant. You need God's perfect, unattractive, unwanted rejected servant. You need God's perfect servant who suffered in your place. You need God's perfect servant who has defeated death. That's what we all need this morning. And praise be to God if you already have that, if you have already accepted Jesus. And if you haven't yet accepted Jesus, it's not too late. The amazing thing about everything that I've said this morning is that it's all for free. This is a free gift that God is offering us. Now, I don't know about you, but I love freebies. The other day when I was down at the shops, I walked past a little booth and they were offering food. Now, I thought they were trying to sell me something, and so I had my usual line, no, sorry, I'm not interested. But they said, wait, it's free. Now, the word free made me stop in my tracks. And I ended up with a big mouthful of free food. What Jesus is offering you this morning is free. It's a free gift. It cost God his son. It cost Jesus his life. But it is free for us. Free forgiveness, free eternal life. Praise God if you have this already this morning. But if you don't, then you can still accept Jesus today. Accept this free gift. And as you leave this morning, there's essential Jesus on the back table. It's a free gift. Please take it and read it. Learn more about the life of Jesus. And on the very last page of that book, if you want to follow Jesus, well, then it explains how you can do that on the last page of that book. It's a free sample. Please take it. And so again, the greatest thing we need is God's rejected, unwanted servant. The greatest thing we need is God's perfect servant who suffered in our place. The greatest thing we need is God's servant, God's perfect servant who has been raised back to life. And now with eyes open, voices loud, let's continue to sing praises to our great God this morning. Amen.